Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment. Trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin sale bro.
Show,
they got me started, lying hearted, I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Gruz Usaba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we wise up, unity so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black on black power moves. You telling lies, if you think this shit won't be televised. Black power, be scared guys, they be standing there like they paralyzed, huh? We say fuck the system, cause we above the system. We keep ARs and pistols, shotguns that's worth the crystal. But that's for self-defense, make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters, that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general, King Khalid Muhammad. We gon' make your day a holiday, I fucking promise.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin sale bro.
RBG, 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 RBG. My sisters, my brothers, the council, the elders, shit, that's really all I need. We suited, we booted, don't do it, you stupid, we head to the armory. Black woman and goddess, regardless, my heart just don't fuck with misogyny. Bullshit, I don't tolerate it. Melanated, so you gotta hate it. Barack fucked up another conversation. Trump finna get inaugurated, damn. Unify or die, NBPP.org.
First and foremost, the new Black Panther Party, no other Black Panther Party, we are not violent. We are for self-defense and self-determination. The most violent group in this country are the police. What is taking place by the police department to black people across this country is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It has escalated since the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2008. We have a people who are only 13% of the population, yet we make up 80% of the prisons. We have 50% unemployment rate in the black community, and it's actually even more than that because they're not counting our people that are in the prison. The 13th Amendment says you cannot be made a slave or indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 14th Amendment forced our people to be subjects of this government. We never had any say in that. We need our own nation.
Shit, tired of getting shot at. Tired of getting...
Only God can judge me.
Is that right?
Only God, man.
Nobody else.
Nobody else.
All you other motherfuckers, get out of my business.
Ready.
Perhaps I was blind to the fact. Stabbed in the back, I couldn't trust my own homies. Just a bunch of dirty rats. Well, I succeed. Cannabinoid from the weed. And hope it's focused, try to focus, but I can't see. And in my mind, I'm a blind man doing time. Look to my future, cause my past is all behind me. Is it a crime to fight for what is mine? Everybody's gone, tell me what's the use in trying. I've been trapped at birth, cautious, cause I'm cursed. And fantasies of my family in the hurt. And they say it's the white man I severe. But it's my own kind doing all the killing here. I can't lie, ain't no love for the other side. Jealousy inside, make them wish I died. Oh my lord, tell me what I'm living for. Everybody's dropping, got me knocking on heaven's door. And all all my memories of seeing brothers bleed and everybody grieve, but still nobody sees. Recollect your thoughts, don't get caught up in the mix, cause the media's full of dirty tricks. Only God can judge me.
Yeah, baby.
Only God can judge me.
Only God can judge me.
I hear the doctor standing over me, screaming I can make it. Got a body full of bullet holes, laying here, naked still. I can't breathe, something's evil in my IV. Cause every time I breathe, I think they're killing me. I'm having nightmares, homicidal fantasies. I wake up strangling, dangling my bed sheets. I call a nurse cause it hurts to reminisce. How did it come to this? I wish they didn't miss. Somebody help me, tell me where to go from here. Cause even thugs cry, but through the Lord's care. Trying to remember, but it hurts. I'm walking through the cemetery, talking to the dirt. I'd rather die like a man than live like a coward. There's a ghetto up in heaven and it's ours. Black power is what we dream as we dream in a paranoid state. And our fate is a lifetime of hate. Dear mama, can you save me? And fuck peace, cause the street got our baby. We gotta eat, no more hesitation. Each and every black male trapped. And they wonder why we suicidal, running round strapped. Mr. Police, please try to see it. It's a million motherfuckers stressing just like me.
Does not kill me, can only make me stronger.
For real.
I don't see why everybody feels as though they gotta tell me how to live my life.
You know?
Let me live, baby. Let me live.
Pac, I feel ya. Keep serving it on the realer. For instance, say a player hating Marcus out to kill ya. Would you be wrong for bucket a nigga to the pavement? He gon' get me first if I don't get him. Who start praying? Ain't no such thing as self-defense in the court of law. So judges, when we get to where we're going, we're in the cross. That's real. Got him, missed him, crept the fuck up on him. Sold a half a million tips. Now everybody want him. After talking behind my back like a bitch would. Telling them niggas you can face. Punk, I wish you would. Be the same motherfuckers in your face. That'll rush up in your place to get your safe. Knowing you on that paper chase. Grass, glass, big screen and leather couch. My new shit is so pretty, I already sold a Kia ounce. Bitch, remember Tupac and Forte? Them same two brothers dodging bullets representing the base. Pop when you was locked down, that's when I be around. Start climbing up the truck, so sick, but they tried to clown. That's why they ride the bandwagon, still be dragging, selling lies. Don't think I don't see you haters, I know y'all in the sky.
Guess you figure you know me cause I'm a thug. That love to hit the late night club, drinks and buns. Been living lavish like a player all day. Now I'm about to floss some ball players, stick with Rote. Only God can judge. Only God can judge me. Only God can judge me.
That's real.
Only God can judge me. Only God can judge me.
Only God can judge me. Only God can judge me.
Only God can judge me.
Only God can judge me.
Only God can judge me.
Only God. Only God.
Yo, turn this motherfucking shit up.
For the blood in my arm, the black is for the gun in my palm, and the green is for the trauma. Africa's my mama, and I did not end up here from bad karma or for b-ball, selling mad crack or rapping. Peter Tosh tried to tell us what happened. He was saying if you black, then you African. So they had to kill him and make him a villain, cause he was teaching the children. I feel him, Dunn was trying to drop us a real gem. That's why we bucking holes in the ceiling when we hearing I'm an African.
Can you find war? Can you milk cows? Even First place, if this is how we gotta go.
And we don't even have the time to name all of us killed at the hands of brute beast police. It was former Supreme Court Justice Thurgood Marshall who spoke at Howard Jew University, sometimes called Howard University. And as he spoke there, he said that the Ku Klux Klan, that the white paramilitary right-wing organizations, the Nazis and others, that the Klan no longer just wears white hoods and white sheets, but now the Klan wears blue uniforms, carries a badge or a shield, and a legal, quote-unquote, weapon, that the Klan now wears black robes and sits on the judge's bench to rule from the courtroom. And so Thurgood Marshall, having been a Supreme Court justice, too afraid to make bold stands himself, but in a sense like the spook who sat by the door, on his way out, he could begin to give up a little bit of the truth. And right here in New York, we have Judge Bruce Wright. And as we read his book, Black Robes, White Justice, in Black Robes, White Justice, Judge Bruce Wright gives us the inside track on the criminal justice system of the white man. And never call it a criminal justice system unless you put the adjective in front of it, that it is a criminal justice system. In fact, it is the criminal justice system. It is no wonder that there is police brutality, because the white man is a criminal. He's the number one criminal on the face of the planet Earth. Criminals established the criminal justice system of white America. Every law in the penal code system of the state of New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Pennsylvania, California, Georgia, no matter where, and the penal code for the federal government of the United States of America, every law in the penal code book, every law was broken by the white man in order to establish that state, to establish this state, and to establish what he calls the United States of America. Every law. Some of you saw us on Harold Hope. That's what he is. That's a little Ebonics. I can't call him Harold Hoare. Ebonically speaking, he's Harold Hope. You saw us with Dr. Alvin.
There is no mystery God. Absolutely no mystery God. There is no God in the sky, and there is no devil under the ground. Heaven is not in the sky, and hell is not under the ground. Heaven and hell are conditions of the mind, states of existence, and states of being. So Jesus told us to stop looking for heaven in the sky. He said the kingdom of heaven is within you. And that we are the temples of the living God. That the living God lives in our temple, and he does not inhabit the sky, but he inhabits the higher realms of the heavens, of the realm of the secret innermost chamber of the subconscious chamber of the soul of man and woman, and this power bursts forth and emanates forth from him to set in motion a universal order based on principle and law. All of this set in motion by a divine power and a divine force that never dies. It's constant. It just changes forms. God is in man. Can't be in any man, he's got to be in the original man. Because if God is the first and everything comes from him, then he can't wait for anything else. He brings everything else into existence. There could be no white man if there were no black man. It is biologically and genetically impossible for the recessive white man to produce the dominant yellow baby. Biologically and genetically impossible for the recessive yellow man and woman to produce the dominant brown baby. Biologically and genetically impossible for the recessive brown man and woman to produce the dominant black baby. But that black man and his woman, the father and the mother of it all, can produce black, can produce brown, can produce red, can produce yellow. And if the seed runs wild or mutates in the womb of the black woman, can even produce an albino, something which is whiter than white. 180 degrees in either direction.
Poison will be the one to strike you and take your life. We're in the 21st century. Sister Tisha Miller is dead in California, sitting in a car, lying in a car, asleep, and four brute beasts take her life. Brother James Byrd in Texas, Jasper, Texas, dead because devils chained him behind their truck and dragged him until he was dismembered, leaving body parts all along the highway. Crackers are now all over the country, a rise in the Ku Klux Klan, a rise in the skinheads, a rise in the paramilitary right-wing organizations. Now they're just riding up on us, blowing us away in the streets, at the bus stop. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that there would come a day when the white man would be stripped of all signs of civility, and we would see a raw, naked beast in the streets. This is a raw, naked beast now. And they are backed up by a raw, naked beast, Giuliani, Safer, and goddammit, Hillary Clinton ain't no better than no other cracker. You Negroes should quit it. You Negroes should stop it. Hillary Clinton is one of the biggest whores in Washington, D.C., and one of the biggest liars in Washington, D.C. The only problem with Monica Lewinsky and Bill was that Bill was messing with a woman that she had her eyes on. But you caught these devils. Why are you courting the devil in the year 2000? So you can be a big nigger. I'm the nigger that all the white folks, all the white folks have to come by me, cause I is a big nigger. No, you a little nigger, and in the 21st century, you shouldn't be a nigger at all. Stop playing games with the lives of our people just so you can poop in a seat in the Senate chamber or poop in a seat in the mayor's office or just poop anywhere just glad to be rubbed on the head by the peckerwood. This must stop. Negroes running around in the year 2000 talking about.
But can we allow Reverend Chickenfoot to lead us after he comes from the theological cemetery? Or do we need someone that God has raised in our midst in the final days of the white man's world? We're living at the end of the white man's world. Oh, I don't mean Manhattan Island is going to blow up. I don't mean that America's going to explode, but the end of the white man's world. You got all kinds of worlds. You got the sports world. You got the music world. You got the underworld. Huh? We're talking about the white man's world. An end to this age, an end to this dispensation in time, an end to the way things are run as we have come to know it in the world today, and in to the world. Otherwise, God has no reason to blow up the planet Earth. He set the planet Earth on a course, and it still bows and bends and yields and submits to the divine will and dictate of Almighty God. He set it on a course, and it moves at 1,037 and a third miles per hour. It doesn't pick up a second, nor does it lose a second. It goes and moves according to the law under which he created it, and it bows to his will. Nothing is as rebellious as the white man. Everything that God says thou shalt not do, the white man says, gee whiz, buddy, it's all right. Come on, try it. You like it, baby. It's okay. Gee whiz, you guys are too rigid. You only live once, man. Come on. like that. I'm talking about Bob. I'm talking about Bill. I'm talking about Larry. You know the guys I'm talking about. Now, sister, you acting like you don't know them. That's why we don't allow no white folks in here. Because if we had white folks in here, you'd be looking all behind you and wondering what Bob and Bill and Larry and Susie and Cindy might be thinking. So this is a family meeting. We don't allow white folks in here. We don't have no Chinese. We don't have no Japanese. We don't have no Vietnamese. We don't have no Koreans. We don't have no French. We don't have no English. We don't have no Dutch, no Greek, no Freak. We don't have none of them in here. Nobody but the black man and the black woman is victims of the slaves and the people of God's church. You're the only ones that we allow in here. This is your meeting hall. This is your liberty hall. This is your freedom hall. This is your independence hall. This is your constitutional convention. If you're going to get free at all, it's going to be here. If you're going to get free at all, it's going to be under the leadership of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Not the white man, because this white man is so slick and so quick. Until he can steal your language right off of the tip of your tongue and you don't even know it's gone. He can steal a thought right out of the middle of your head and you don't even know that it's gone. In fact, you not only don't know it's gone, hell, you don't even know you had it.
How many of you want to see the black family back together? Black man back with his black woman. There is no woman like the black woman, black man. Fancy talk, no Christianity, no Judaism. Don't you let no Islam, no communism. Don't you let nothing put you with the white man's woman and you abandon your own woman. This black woman is the best. This black woman is the one. The one and only, Dr. Barashango is saying on the front row. That's that black woman. Mother of civilization. Queen of the planet Earth. Goddess of the universe. Oh, black man, we've been blessed. You leave Susie Rodden-Wickel alone. Give me a black goddess sister. I can't resist her. No blonde hair, blue eyed, pale skin, buttermilk complexion, recessive, depressive, straight up but straight down. Miss 6 o'clock, no frills, no frills. Eugenoid. Divine gift to us. She keeps us warm in the wintertime. She keeps us cool in the summertime. And keeps us hot all year round. I love you, brothers and sisters.
Black man say, well, we outnumbered. He got more guns than we got. Oh, black woman, you in trouble when you got a black man talking like that. You mean to tell me that your woman is in a house being raped by 20 men and they got 20 guns and you ain't got but one gun and you gonna just go and cry and leave her in there being abused and misused and say, they got more guns than I got. I can't go in there. If you got a man like that, God damn it, you ain't got no man. You might as well get rid of him. You ain't got no man. A real man has got to face it. A real man has got to determine the strategy for going in there and getting his woman out and taking some of the enemy out. That's a real man.
We all must admit, brothers and sisters, that we've lost our name, lost our religion, lost our culture, lost our God, our folkways, our mores, and our norms. And many of us, by the way we act, we have even lost our minds. A people that become so extremely wrapped up to the point of imbalance in any discipline, any study, any endeavor, anything that could improve us and even elevate us, and again, do not have that balance, it can destroy us. Some of us have given up. You don't have to confess to me. I'm not a priest. But some of us have given up. Some of us have given up, and because we have given up, we've shot our minds out in the sky, out in space. Help is going to come from out in space. Somebody is going to come and kill the white man. In fact, one teacher out there said they're already here. They've already arrived from somewhere out there in the galaxy. Look, black man, you first, black woman as well, because you must pass this on to our babies. We both must pass it on to our babies. But as you breathe of your inspiration into that life that you take into your bosom and feed from the essence of which the Almighty, wise God and Creator has blessed you with, you must hear this as well. But come on, black man. Ain't no damn body gonna come and free us from outer space. You can say I'm not spiritual enough. You can stand up here and hit on the warriors. Or you can stand anywhere and hit on those who are going into war and even say to some degree we can't beat this white man. You've given up. You've been here so long until you've given up.
I want you to know that I want you to see. If you ever think about me, and if you think about me, niggas, and if you ain't gonna do no revolutionary act, forget about me. I don't want myself on your mind if you're not going to work for the people. Like we always said, if you actually make a commitment at the age of 20 and you say, I don't want to make that commitment only because of different reasons that I'm too young to die, I want to live a little bit longer, what you did, you're dead already.
You have to understand that people have to pay the price for peace. If you dare to struggle, you dare to win. If you dare not to struggle, then goddamn it, you don't deserve to win. Let me say peace to you if you're willing to fight for it. Let me say it in the spirit of liberation. I've been gone for a little while. At least my body's been gone. You ain't got to repeat after me. At least my body's been gone for a little while. But I'm back now, and I believe that I'm back to stay. I believe that I'm going to do my job, and I believe that I was born not to die in a car wreck. I don't believe I'm going to die in a car wreck. I don't believe I'm going to die from slipping on a piece of ice. I don't believe I'm gonna die because I got a bad heart. I don't believe I'm gonna die because of lung cancer. I believe that I'm going to be able to die in the thing that I was born for. I believe that I'm going to be able to die high off the people. I believe that I will be able to die as a revolutionary in the international revolutionary proletarian struggle. And I hope that each one of you will be able to die in the international proletarian revolutionary struggle, even if you're living in it. And I think that struggle is going to come. Why don't you live for the people? Why don't you struggle for the people? Why don't you die for the people?
I'm Asada Shakur. The first time I heard a tape of one of Mamiya's radio broadcasts, it was the first time I fully understood why the United States government was so intent on putting him to death. I make a special appeal to you, sisters and brothers, to fight tooth and nail to save Mamiya's life and to free him from the grips of his oppressors. As you honor our forefathers and foremothers, I urge you to honor our living heroes. When you honor the names of Nat Turner, Harriet Tubman, and Malcolm X, I urge you to honor the names of Geronimo, Jijaga, Sundiata, Okoli, Mutulu Shakur, and Mumia Abu-Jamal. I urge you not to forget and not to betray our living heroes. If we ignore their struggle, we are ignoring our own. If we betray our living history, then we are betraying ourselves. We could not save Malcolm X, but we can save Mumia. We can save him, and we must save him. Because we love our brother, and we need our brother to help us fight for freedom. Free Mumia Abu-Jamal. Free all political prisoners. Let us carry on our tradition to freedom.
I hope this letter finds you in good health, in good disposition, and enveloped with the spirit of goodness. I must confess that it had never occurred to me before to write you, and I find myself overwhelmed and moved to have this opportunity. Although circumstances have compelled me to reach out to you, I am glad to have this occasion to try and cross the boundaries that would otherwise tend to separate us. I understand that the New Jersey State Police have written to you and asked you to intervene and to help facilitate my extradition back to the United States. I believe that their request is unprecedented in history. Since they have refused to make their letter to you public, although they have not hesitated to publicize their request, I am completely uninformed as to the accusations they are making against me. Why, I wonder, do I warrant such attention? What do I represent that is such a threat? Please let me take a moment to tell you about myself. My name is Asada Shakur, and I was born and raised in the United States. I am a descendant of Africans who were kidnapped and brought to the Americas as slaves. I spent my early childhood in the racist, segregated South. I later moved to the northern part of the country where I realized that black people were equally victimized by racism and oppression. I grew up and became a political activist, participating in student struggles, the anti-war movement, and most of all, in the movement for the liberation of African Americans in the United States. I later joined the Black Panther Party, an organization that was targeted by the COINTELPRO program, a program that was set up by the Federal Bureau of Investigation to eliminate all political opposition to the U.S. government's policies, to destroy the black liberation movement in the United States, to discredit activists, and to eliminate potential leaders. Under the COINTELPRO program, many political activists were harassed, imprisoned, murdered, or otherwise neutralized. As a result of being targeted by COINTELPRO, I, like many other young people, was faced with the threat of prison, underground, exile, or death. The FBI, with the help of local police agencies, systematically fed false accusations and fake news articles to the press, accusing me and other activists of crimes we did not commit. Although in my case the charges were eventually dropped or I was eventually acquitted, the national and local police agencies created a situation where, based on their false accusations against me, any police officer could shoot me on sight. It was not until the Freedom of Information Act was passed in the mid-70s that we began to see the scope of the United States government's persecution of political activists. At this point, I think that it is important to make one thing very clear. I have advocated, and I still advocate, revolutionary changes in the structure and in the principles that govern the United States. I advocate self-determination for my people and for all oppressed people inside the United States. I advocate an end to capitalist exploitation, the abolition of racist policies, the eradication of sexism, and the elimination of political repression. If that is a crime, then I am totally guilty. To make a long story short, I was captured in New Jersey in 1973 after being shot with both arms held in the air and then shot again from the back. I was left on the ground to die, and when I did not, I was taken to a local hospital where I was threatened, beaten, and tortured. In 1977, I was convicted in a trial that can only be described as a legal lynching. In 1979, I was able to escape with the aid of some of my fellow comrades. I saw this as a necessary step, not only because I was innocent of the charges against me, but because I knew that the racist legal system in the United States, I would receive no justice. I was also afraid that I would be murdered in prison. I later arrived in Cuba, where I am currently living in exile as a political refugee. The New Jersey State Police and other law enforcement officials say they want to see me brought to justice. But I would like to know what they mean by justice. Is torture justice? I was kept in solitary confinement for more than 2 years, mostly in men's prisons. Is that justice? My lawyers were threatened with imprisonment and imprisoned. Is that justice? I was tried by an all-white jury without even the pretext of impartiality and then sentenced to life in prison plus 33 years. Is that justice? Let me emphasize that justice for me is not the issue I am addressing here. It is justice for my people that is at stake. When my people receive justice, I am sure that I will receive it too. I know that your holiness will reach your own conclusions, but I feel compelled to present the circumstances surrounding the application of so-called justice in New Jersey. I am not the first or the last person to be victimized by the New Jersey system of justice. The New Jersey State Police are infamous for their racism and brutality. Many legal actions have been filed against them. And just recently, in a class action legal proceeding, the New Jersey State Police were found guilty of having an, quote, officially sanctioned de facto policy of targeting minorities for investigation and arrest, unquote. Although New Jersey's population is more than 78% white, more than 75% of the prison population is made up of blacks and Latinos. 80% of women in New Jersey prisons are women of color. There are 15 people on death row in the state, and 7 of them are black. A 1987 study found that New Jersey prosecutors sought the death penalty in 50% of cases involving a black defendant and a white victim, but only 28% of cases involving a black defendant and a black victim. Unfortunately, the situation in New Jersey is not unique, but reflects the racism that permeates the entire country. The United States has the highest rate of incarceration in the world. There are more than 1.7 million people in U.S. prisons. This number does not include the more than 500,000 people in city and county jails, nor does it include the alarming number of children in juvenile institutions. The vast majority of those behind bars are people of color, and virtually all of those behind bars are poor. The result of this reality is devastating. One-third of black men between the ages of 20 and 29 are either in prison or under the jurisdiction of the criminal justice system. Prisons are big business in the United States, and the building, running, and supplying of prisons has become the fastest growing industry in the country. Factories are moving into the prisons, and prisoners are forced to work for slave wages. This super exploitation of human beings has meant the institutionalization of a new form of slavery. Those who cannot find work on the streets are forced to work in prison. Not only are the prisons used as instruments of economic exploitation, they also serve as instruments of political repression. There are more than 100 political prisoners in the United States. They are African Americans, Puerto Ricans, Chicanos, Native Americans, Asians, and progressive white people who oppose the policies of the United States government. Many of those targeted by the COINTELPRO program have been in prison since the early 1970s. Although the situation in prisons is an indication of human rights violations inside the United States, there are other, more deadly indicators. There are currently 3,365 people now on death row, and more than 50% of those awaiting death are people of color. Black people make up only 13% of the population, but we make up 41.01% of persons who have received the death penalty. The number of state assassinations has increased drastically. In 1997 alone, 71 people were executed. A special rapporteur appointed by the United Nations organization found serious human rights violations in the United States, especially related to the death penalty. According to his findings, people who were mentally ill were sentenced to death, people with severe mental and learning disabilities, as well as minors under 18. Serious racial bias was found on the part of judges and prosecutors. Specifically mentioned in the report was the case of Mumia Abu-Jamal, the only political prisoner on death row, who was sentenced to death because of his political beliefs and because of his work as a journalist exposing police brutality in the city of Philadelphia. I believe that some people spell God with one O, while others spell it with two. What we call God is unimportant as long as we do God's work. There are those who want to see God's wrath fall on the oppressed and not on the oppressors. I believe that the time has ended when slavery, colonialism, and oppression can be carried out in the name of religion. It was in the dungeons of prison that I felt the presence of God up close, and it has been my belief in God and in the goodness of human beings that has helped me to survive. I am not ashamed of having been in prison, and I am certainly not ashamed of having been a political prisoner. I believe that Jesus was a political prisoner who was executed because he fought against the evils of the Roman Empire, because he fought against the greed of the money changers in the temple, because he fought against the sins and injustices of his time. As a true child of God, Jesus spoke up for the poor, for the meek, for the sick, and the oppressed. The early Christians were thrown into lion's dens. I will try to follow the example of so many who have stood up in the face of overwhelming oppression. I am not writing to ask you to intercede on my behalf. I ask nothing for myself. I only ask you to examine the social reality of the United States and to speak out against the human rights violations that are taking place. On this day, the birthday of Martin Luther King, I am reminded of all those who gave their lives for freedom. Most of the people who live on this planet are still not free. I ask only that you continue to work and pray to end oppression and political repression. It is my heartfelt belief that all the people on this earth deserve justice, social justice, political justice, and economic justice. I believe it is the only way we will ever achieve peace and prosperity on this earth. I hope that you enjoy your visit to Cuba. This is not a country that is rich in material wealth, but it is a country that is rich in human wealth, spiritual wealth, and moral wealth. Respectfully yours, Asada Shakur, Havana, Cuba.
Special speaker for you. He's up and coming artist. He's one of the new leaders and starting trends. Hold on one moment,
Hey, 2 minutes. They ready for you, bro.
Yeah, they ready. Everybody in there.
Attention, all soldiers, come gather formation. My African warriors to my thugs and gangsters. It's time to fight hard, cause our life is in danger. Stop practicing on each other and get the one that's a gangster. It's time to link up and form one big army. Unite all of our numbers, get them people up off us. This whole thing designed to get you broke or you locked up. But we gon' tear it down because this world belongs to us. I say, Lord, we can step ripping, come for the death. You can see death and lies, you got lies, what you saw. Circulate the black dollar, keep the black dollar black. We were taught by master not to have each other back. Now we linking with each other, help each other stack, stack. Black pride, one nation, strong and black. That's what's now, see that job that you seek, it ain't all that it seems. They tryna really let your black Wall Street dream. You gon' make it all happen like a king and a queen. But when you rep the culture, it ain't hard as it seems. We gon' march like Martin by the window like X. We gon' free our people by enemies next. It's a lot to clean on meager shoulders that wear royalty. And garments that the bread and bars are both to set us free. When I say, Lord, what a step, rip and come to the devil. What you see, you pass the lies, you got lies with yourself. You the king, you the queen, you the people, you the law. Alcohol to the hood, they want you to sell dope, kill and rob for your food. But they ain't bring no jobs, so people dying for the food. It's Operation Us and we gon' operate on us. When I say march, you say step, rep and come to the devil. You can see past they lies, you got knowledge yourself. You the king, you the queen, to your people, you the savior. If you don't know your culture, come and let me activate ya.
But don't scare Negroes today with no badge or no white skin or no white sheet or no white anything else. The police the same way. They put their club upside your head and then turn around and accuse you of attacking them. Every case of police brutality against a Negro follows the same pattern. They attack you, bust you all upside your mouth, and then take you to court and charge you with assault. What kind of democracy is that? What kind of freedom is that? What kind of social or political system is it when a black man has no voice in court, has no nothing on his side other than what the white man chooses to give him? My brothers and sisters, we have to put a stop to this, and it will never be stopped until we stop it ourselves. They attack the victim, and then the criminal who attacked the victim
accuses the victim of attacking him.
Yes, sir.
This is American justice.
Yes, sir. That's right.
This is American democracy.
Yes,
and those of you who are familiar with it,
yes,
know that in America, democracy is hypocrisy.
Right, right.
Now, if I'm wrong, put me in jail.
Right.
But if you can't prove that if democracy is not hypocrisy, then don't put your hands on me.
But we want to welcome you to our rally, our unity rally, for a united black front. To unite all factions of our people. To unite every one of the 20 million so-called Negroes into one group. And you'll notice, whenever the white man thinks that we're going to call a rally to knock our own kind, you see him jammed out here. He wants to hear us say something against King or against Bunch or against Farmer, against someone of our own kind. He jams out here. But when you call a rally for black people to unite, let's get together, you don't see too many white folks then. They don't like black people to get together in unity and harmony. As long as you and I are going to attack each other or talk about each other or heap scorn and ridicule upon each other, the white man gets his kick. But when he knows that we're going to come together in unity and harmony, he won't get his kick. He will get kick. When you see you and I getting together, it is because we have begun to realize that we have a common enemy. And the only time we'll be able to come together with a common objective and a common goal is when we first develop a common motive. And that motive is best developed by recognizing the common enemy. And that common enemy is the white man. I say that common enemy is the white man. The white man is your enemy, whether you are a Baptist, whether you are a Methodist, whether you are an Episcopalian, or whether you're a Muslim, or whether you're a Mason, or whether you're an elk. If you find yourself running into opposition when you're looking for freedom, justice, and equality, or some kind of right, you have to agree, always the one who opposes your right is the white man. Some old blue-eyed, blonde-haired, bad-smelling white man. When he puts his club upside your head, he doesn't care whether you're a Baptist, a Methodist, but he does want to know whether or not you're a Muslim. Because he knows if you're a Baptist or a Methodist, you're going to turn the other cheek. You're going to try and love your enemy. You're going to pray for them that despitefully use you. So he's not worried about you. But he knows if you're a Muslim, you're not going to turn the other cheek. If you pray for him, you pray that God kills him, or God helps you to kill him. That's the only kind of prayer you pray. It's time for you and me to unite, to get together and get this big white ape off our back. You got a bad habit. You're hooked and don't know it. You got what's known as white disease. You think you can't get along without the white man. You think you can't get some clothes without the white man. You think you can't get a house without the white man. You think you can't even get a job without the white man. You're worse than a man who thinks he can't get along without heroin. You're worse than the man who thinks he can't get along without morphine. You're worse than the junkie. You're in worse shape than the junkie because the junkie only has a little monkey on his back and you're running around with a big white ape named Uncle Sam on your back. America is faced with her worst domestic crisis since the Civil War, or since the Revolutionary War. For America now faces a race war. A race war is worse than a Revolutionary War. A race war is worse than a Civil War. A race war is a war in which no holes are barred. A race war is a war in which children are destroyed, in which children are mutilated, in which children face the same destructive wrath that grown-ups face. A race war is the worst war that you can conceive. And this war, race war, that is coming upon the head of the white man is something that he is bringing down upon himself. The entire country is on the verge of erupting into racial violence and bloodshed.
simply because 20 million ex-slaves are demanding freedom, justice, and equality here in America from their former slave master. 20 million so-called Negroes, second-class citizens, seeking human dignity, seeking human rights, seeking the right to live in dignity as a human being. And rather than give genuine respect and recognition to your cry for human rights, the American white man answers your nonviolence with violence. He answers your prayers and your freedom songs with false promises, deceitful maneuvers, and outright bloodshed. According to what we are taught from the white man's textbooks and his school, the Revolutionary War and the Civil War were two wars fought on American soil, supposedly for freedom and democracy. But if these two wars were really for the freedom and human dignity of all men, why are 20 million of our people still confined here in America and enslaved by second-class citizenship? Something is wrong. The truth is that the Revolutionary War was fought on American soil to free the American white man from the English white man. The Revolutionary War was never fought to provide freedom and democracy in this white country for the black man. Our people remain slaves here in America even after the Declaration of Independence was signed. In fact, most of the white founding fathers who signed the Declaration of Independence were nothing but slave owners themselves. It is sheer hypocrisy, sheer ignorance, sheer insanity for our people here in America to celebrate the 4th of July as Independence Day, while white America still denies us first-class citizenship that goes with an independent people. And it is nothing but hypocrisy for the American white man to pretend that the Revolutionary War was truly a war of independence as long as 20 million black people here in America are denied the privileges of an independent people. Don't let the white man fool you. Don't let the white man smile at you and lull you to sleep. Behind that smile is a vicious heart. Behind those teeth is an animal-like beast who doesn't have it within him to want for you what he wants for himself and his own kind. Don't let that man fool you. When you look at that man, you're supposed to see him for exactly what he is. And if you want to know what he is, examine his deeds. Forget his words. He got a whole lot of pretty sounding words. Watch his deeds. His deeds are like the deeds of a snake, the deeds of a serpent, the deeds of a dragon, the deeds of a reptile, the deeds of a beast. Why, nothing but a race of beasts would take dogs and stick them on little black babies. Nothing but a race of beasts will stick dogs on black children and black women. Nothing but a race of beasts. And it is these deeds today that's causing the wrath of God to come down upon the head of the white man. And when you see him as he is and see how much hell he's catching, you're out of his mind to want to be with him. You're out of your mind to want to integrate with him. And you're really out of your mind if you take time to forgive him and ask God to have mercy on him. No, ask God to judge him. Ask God to do unto him as he has done unto you. He has caused your babies to suffer. Ask God to heap suffering upon his babies. He has caused your women to suffer. Ask God to heap suffering on his women. He has caused all of our people to suffer. You can't deny that. You may not like my saying it, but you can't deny it. Why, you got scars and knots on your head from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. And every one of those scars is evidence against the American white man and his inhumanity to man. The Civil War was also fought on this continent, not to free the black slaves, as is commonly taught in the white man's schools, but the Civil War was actually fought to preserve the Union, preserve this country, keep it intact for white people. It wasn't fought to set you free. It wasn't fought to give you some kind of emancipation. It wasn't fought to make you a citizen. It wasn't fought to give you civil rights. It wasn't fought because they respected you and loved you as a human being. It was fought out of greed. It was fought out of selfishness. It was fought to keep this country intact for their own white selves. In essence, this only means that the American white man fought the Revolutionary War to get this country for himself. And he then fought the Civil War to keep this country intact for himself. And today, he will now fight a race war to keep from having to share this white country on an equal basis with anyone else but his white self, especially on an equal basis with his 20 million former slaves. So again I ask, where will all of these demonstrations end? And who dares to say that our people are not justified by demonstrating their resentment over the injustice and mistreatment that our people have suffered these 400 years at the hands of this cruel, inhuman American white man? We have nothing to lose but our chains. We have nothing to lose but the hell we experience every day living here in these rat-filled slums. You have to excuse me for being blunt speaking and frank talking. We don't care who likes it or not, as long as we know it's the truth.
I got loyalty, got royalty inside my DNA. Cocaine quarter piece, got war and peace inside my DNA. I got power, poison, pain, and joy inside my DNA. I got hustle, though ambition flow inside my DNA. I was born like this, this born like this, immaculate conception. I transform like this, perform like this, which yells you a new weapon. I don't contemplate, I meditate, then off your fucking head. This that puts the kids to bed. This that I got realness, I just kill shit, cause this in my DNA. I got millions, I got riches building in my DNA. I got dark, I got evil that rot inside my DNA. I got off, I got trouble, some heart inside my DNA. I just win again, then win again, like Wimbledon I serve. Yeah, that's him again, the sound that engine in is like a bird. You see fireworks and Corvette tires skirt the boulevard. I know how you work, I know just who you are. See, use a bitch, your hormones probably switch inside your DNA. Problem is, all that sucker shit inside your DNA. Daddy probably snitch, heritage inside your DNA. Backbone don't exist, born outside a jellyfish I gauge. See my pedigree, most definitely don't tolerate the front. Shit I been through probably offend you, this is Parler's oldest son. I know murder, conviction, burners, boosters, burglars, ballers, dead. Redemption, scholars, fathers, dead. With kids and I wish I was fed. Forgiveness, yeah. Soldier's DNA, born inside the beast. My expertise check out in second grade. When I was 9, on sale motel, we didn't have nowhere to stay. At 29, I've been so well, hit cartwheel in my estate. And I'm gon' shine like I'm supposed to. Antisocial extrovert, and excellent mean an extrovert. And absentness, what the fuck you hurt? And passiveness never struck my nerve. And that's a riff, gonna plead this case. The reason my power's here on earth. Salute the truth from the prophet, say I got loyalty, got royalty inside my DNA.
This is why
DNA.
I say that hip-hop has done more damage to young African-Americans than race has done in recent years.
I live about my DNA. This is my heritage, all I'm inheriting. Money and power, the maker of America. Tell me something, you motherfuckers can't tell me nothing. I'd rather die than to listen to you. My DNA not for imitation, but DNA an abomination. This how I dish when you in the matrix, out your bullets, reaping what you're sowing, stacking up the footage, living on the go and sleeping in the pillar, sipping from a Grammy, walking in the building, diamond in the ceiling, marble on the floors, peaches out the window, peeking out the window, baby in the pool, Godfather goes, only Lord knows. I've been going hammer, dodging paparazzi, freaking through the cameras, eat it for a daughter's rock, wearing sandals, yoga on the Monday, stretches in the planner, watching all the snakes. Curving all the fakes, phone never own. I don't camera safe, I don't compromise. I just penetrate, sex, money, murder. These are the breaks, these are the times. Level number 9, look up in the sky. Tennis on the way, tennis on the way, tennis on the way. Motherfucker, I got winners on the way. You ain't shit without a buddy on your belt. You ain't shit without a ticket on your plate. You ain't sick enough to put it on yourself. You ain't rich enough to hit the ladder skate. Tell me when this shit gonna be my fate. Gonna be a fake, gonna be a fake. Peace to the world, let it rotate. Sex, money, murder, I DNA.
About 2 or 3 dozen policemen. This, of course, comes after a time when they broke into a police precinct station and ransacked it. How many of those people went to jail? How many got fingerprinted? How many of them are in prison? and so forth. And yet, can we say that they did not commit a crime? You see, what do we have here then? A situation, you see, where if you use crime statistics, you're not going to find those Hasidic Jews on in the statistics. You're not going to find them on the prison rolls. You see, that's what power does for you, isn't it? It permits you to commit a crime and keep yourself out of jail. And then you can go into the jailhouse and look at the statistics and compare the number of blacks arrested on probation, on parole, and compare them with Hasidic Jews. And say, well, I see one is very big and the other one is very little. Therefore, the blacks must be more criminal than the Hasidic Jews. You can never be more wrong in your life. You have to understand that we have to get away from that. You know, this is the kind of teaching that goes on in the university today. Understand that when white boys and white girls are not on the rolls, the prison rolls, and in the prison populations, it points to the efficiency of their criminal organization. How do we say that? A mafia don who has a very efficient criminal operation, who can create a murder incorporated, who can engage in drug trafficking and killing and murdering and extortion, the same kind of games I've been reading to you here tonight, can earn so much money until he can keep his children innocent, keep them out of jail, give them good educations, and the whole bit. You understand what I'm getting at? In other words, those children's names do not appear on the crime blotters. They are not in the jails because their fathers are such good mafia operators. So even their innocence speaks to the efficient criminality of their fathers. And because then the white boys are not in jail with the black boys, do not make the assumption that means the white boys are less criminal or their fathers are less criminal. It means they just have a criminally efficient operation. We got to move on here. This country then is an imperialist criminal operation because it robs the people at home, and you see it as it robs the people abroad. It constricts the black males to fight its criminal wars. It maintains worldwide terror and extortion. It, of course, maintains the criminality in Namibia, South Africa, Angola, Panama, Grenada, Central South America, Zaire, and the whole bit. I accuse this nation of being a criminal nation because it engages in the health neglect of our people. This nation, as determined by its own task force, indicates that black and minority health, in the area of black and minority health, there are 60,000 more minority deaths per year based on an expectation of equal death rates for blacks and whites. As a matter of fact, melanin gives you an added lifespan. So what are we saying here? That this society, due to its neglect of the health of black people, excesses the lives of some 60,000 black people a year. This is murder. It engages in child neglect and child abuse as it maintains the infant mortality rate of black children to more than twice that of white children, as it maintains a measles rate 16 times that of white children, as it maintains the poverty of our black children, increasing the poverty of black children at the rate of some 750,000 children a year, It engages in educational neglect, as it engages in the miseducation of our children, as it refuses to fund the Head Start and early childhood education programs, as it refuses to fund the education programs under Chapter 1. And I wish I had the time to read the statistics here of how our children are killed and our families are destroyed through educational neglect. This criminal society then sets up the psychology of black-on-black violence by creating a sense of powerlessness in our young people, by projecting negative stereotypes upon their mentality such that they seek to escape an African identity and alienate themselves from their African selves and internalize the values and perceptions projected by the dominant society, as their appetites are distorted so that they literally then eat themselves to death or desire things which will destroy them, as it frustrates them such that in their anger they turn against themselves, as it makes them displace their anger against their fellow victims. This society is a criminogenic society because it serves as the best model of criminality. The black-on-black criminal has learned from the best of teachers, the white-on-black criminal. It engages in criminality as it supplies weaponry to our children and alcohol and drugs. How does this relate then to our adolescents? Recognize that almost 50% of the young men who die between 15 and 24 die as a result of homicide, black-on-black homicide. This would be a major health problem if we were another ethnic group. Recognize that the cream of the African race is being destroyed before it has a chance to reach manhood. Homicide is the leading cause of death of black males between 15 and 24. Is it because blue-collar jobs that maintain the families of black people across this country and ship them to other places and exploit the other populations of this world? We accuse them of imperial criminality and of organized crime. This nation is an organized mafia operation. I have indicated to you that it is best when you look at the international situation that you will come away with a better understanding if you apply the concepts of mafia psychology to the international relations that are going on right now and that have been going on. We don't have time to talk about a chapter I do in here that I call Quantifying the Myth. You know, the myth of making black people appear to be more criminal than white people. A myth that is statistically supported by the number of black men and women arrested, by the number of black men and women incarcerated, by the number of black men and women under probation and parole. And of course, now we are supposed to look at those statistics and compare them between black and white. And because we see more blacks arrested, more blacks in jail, more blacks in probation and parole, we are supposed to make the illogical assumption that blacks are more criminal than whites. I told you time and time again, ladies and gentlemen, that in a society that's based on lies, as this one is, in a society that can only exist based on deception, that truth is reversed. That's in essence what a lie is. And therefore, when you look at the so-called statistics that seek to establish the criminality of black people, turn it around and turn them around, and you will recognize that the criminals are outside the prisons. We don't have time to talk about it tonight. But that's the value of having power, you see. You can make criminal whatever you want to make it. You can legitimize your own criminality and perverseness. You can call virtue a crime and arrest people for being virtuous. And then you can look at the statistics and say, aren't they more criminal because they are in jail? Some of you read the recent situation here in the Hasidic community where a bunch of Jews ran out, broke arms, and hurt the police. What, about 2 or 3 dozen policemen? This, of course, comes after a time when they broke into a police precinct station and ransacked it. How many of those people went to jail? How many got fingerprinted? How many of them are in prison? And so forth. And yet, can we say that they did not commit a crime? You see, what do we have here then? A situation, you see, where if you use crime statistics, you're not going to find those Hasidic Jews in the statistics. You're not going to find them on the prison rolls. You see, that's what power does for you, isn't it? It permits you to commit a crime and keep yourself out of jail. And then you can go into the jailhouse and look at the statistics and compare the number of blacks arrested on probation, on parole, and compare them with Hasidic Jews. And say, well, I see one is very big and the other one is very little. Therefore, the blacks must be more criminal than the Hasidic Jews. You can never be more wrong in your life. You have to understand, but we have to get away from that. You know, this is the kind of teaching that goes on in the university today. Understand that when white boys and white girls are not on the rolls, the prison rolls, and in the prison populations, it points to the efficiency of their criminal organization. How do we say that? A mafia don who has a very efficient criminal operation, who can create a murder incorporated, who can engage in drug trafficking and killing and murdering and extortion, the same kind of games I've been reading to you here tonight, can earn so much money until he can keep his children innocent, keep them out of jail, give them good educations, and the whole bit. You understand what I'm getting at? In other words, those children's names do not appear on the crime blotters. They are not in the jails because their fathers are such good mafia operators. So even their innocence speaks to the efficient criminality of their fathers. And because then the white boys are not in jail with the black boys, do not make the assumption that means the white boys are less criminal or their fathers are less criminal. It means they just have a criminally efficient operation. We got to move on here. This country then is an imperialist criminal operation because it robs the people at home, and you see it as it robs the people abroad. It constricts the black males to fight its criminal wars. It maintains worldwide terror and extortion. It, of course, maintains the criminality in Namibia, South Africa, Angola, Panama, Grenada, Central South America, Zaire, and the whole bit. I accuse this nation of being a criminal nation because it engages in the health neglect of our people. This nation, as determined by its own task force, indicates that black and minority health, in the area of black and minority health, there are 60,000 more minority deaths per year based on an expectation of equal death rates for blacks and whites.
Hello, my name is Dr. Christina Parks. I received my PhD in cellular and molecular biology right here in the state of Michigan from University of Michigan Medical School. And so I'm very well versed in the science of both these mRNA gene therapy vaccines, this kind of technology, as well as what a vaccine is designed to do in the body, what it can do, what it can't do, and the fact that this is extremely complex science that has been oversimplified in the media to basically take away our freedom of choice. What I want to address today in this limited time is the fact that vaccine requirements and mandates are based on the faulty assumption that the vaccines in question prevent transmission of the pathogen, right? Does the vaccine for DTaP prevent transmission? No. Does the vaccine for flu prevent transmission? No. Do the vaccines for COVID prevent transmission? No. In fact, they were never designed to do that. All right, so you're asking, what about this 95% effectiveness? If you look at those clinical trials, they do not say that they prevent transmission. They expressly say that they're measuring whether they attenuate symptoms. So they're 95% effective based on their clinical trials at attenuating symptoms for the first variant, which is essentially gone in our population. Right now, the predominant variant is the Delta. And CDC Director Walensky basically said that these vaccines have no ability to prevent infection by and transmission of the Delta variant. So our policy needs not to be built on the hope of what we think something we want it to do, but what the data actually tell us. So do the vaccines prevent the virus from infecting and replicating in the nose and nasopharynx? No. They've only been shown to prevent that replication in the lungs. They're different. The mucosa is very different than the lungs. It's very different than the blood. You inject it to the blood. You make antibodies in your blood. The virus isn't infecting your blood. It's infecting your mucosa, and you don't produce any IgA to neutralize it. In fact, recent studies have shown that the vaccinated, especially with the Delta variant, and the unvaccinated have similar amounts of virus in their nose and throat. In Barnstable, Massachusetts, the CDC tracked an outbreak of 469 cases of COVID. 74% occurred in fully vaccinated, and 4 out of 5 of those hospitalized were vaccinated. All right, so maybe they are mandating this because they just didn't know with the COVID. And so my main complaint is with our health agencies and the CDC, who basically know better and are misleading the public. So let's look at DTaP, which the scientists and the CDC have known since 2014, that the acellular pertussis vaccine does not prevent people from getting infected with the pertussis bacteria and passing it to others. In fact, it was never designed to do that. The vaccine was designed to neutralize the pertussis toxin. Pertussis, we know it as whooping cough. It can be fatal for children under 6 months. So neutralizing this toxin saves lives, all right? I'm not going to debate that. But what it doesn't do is neutralize the bacteria. So what happens is fully vaccinated children go to daycare, they pick up that bacteria, and they come home and they give it to their newborn brother or sister. They get deathly ill, and they go to the hospital. Hopefully, our medical professionals are able to save them. But who do they blame? Now the CDC is blaming anti-vaxxers for the limitations of this vaccine design. I suggest that they be transparent and tell parents that although it is preventing severe disease in their children, it is not preventing transmission because we have created a whole class of asymptomatic pertussis carriers who are increasing the disease. Now, the old DTP vaccine that many of you who are my age or older got did prevent transmission. When we switched to the safer acellular version, they knew that it was never designed to prevent transmission. It was safer, it had less adverse events, but pertussis cases have gone through the roof. There's a resurgence in pertussis because of the design of the vaccine, and the vaccinologists know this, they're trying to address it, and so we cannot mandate that something that does not prevent transmission. All right, what about the flu vaccine? Well, they have shown that basically there's no difference, there's no statistical difference if you're vaccinated or unvaccinated, whether you get the flu or not. But it's even worse because although that first year it is somewhat effective, it's about 65% effective at preventing symptoms in you, after that it actually has negative efficacy. And I want to address this because it's very important. Vaccines are made to a specific variant, and when that variant mutates, the vaccine no longer recognizes it. And so it's like you're seeing a completely new virus. And because that's so, you actually get more severe symptoms when you're vaccinated against one variant, and then it mutates, and then your body sees the other variant. So there's the potential, and the science shows that, in fact, with the flu, if you get vaccinated in multiple years, you are more likely to get severe disease, you are more likely to have more viral replication, and you are more likely to be hospitalized, both in adults and in children. We are seeing the same thing in COVID with the Delta variant. And so we are mandating that people get a vaccine that could actually make them more sick when they're exposed to the virus. In fact, this week, a paper came out, and what it showed is that with this Delta variant, when you're vaccinated, your body makes antibodies that are supposed to neutralize the virus, but they were supposed to neutralize the old variant. When they see this new variant, what they're doing is they're actually, the antibodies are taking the virus and helping it infect the cells. All right, that science was just published this week. We need to be looking at the science, and we need our policy to reflect the science, and we also need it to reflect our rights. Okay. And so as a PhD who knows the science, I'm in the category of the most vaccine hesitant group. Yes, PhDs are the most vaccine hesitant, followed by people who have less than a high school degree because they know what they don't know and they don't trust their government. And many people, the other group that is very vaccine hesitant, are African Americans. 70% of African Americans have not taken this vaccine. Why? Because they don't trust their government. Do they have reason not to trust their government? Well, between the years of 1930 and 1970, the CDC conducted the Tuskegee experiment, where they took untreated males with syphilis and they refused to treat them. Even after antibiotics became available, they still did not treat them and they did not tell them that they had syphilis. They told those people that they were there to secure their health, and they did not secure their health. They abused them. You say, well, that was in the past, although I don't think 1970 was that long ago. Well, in 2012, whistleblower William Thompson came forward and said, we published a study that said MMR does not cause autism, but we lied. In fact, we shredded data that showed that when black boys are vaccinated on time, they have increased rates of autism diagnosis, and we shredded it and we left it out of the paper. As an African American and a PhD, I want to ask each of you, are we going to exclude 70% of African American people from the workforce and from education? Right, my ancestors did not work this hard. I come from a family that worked very hard, and I'm very aware that my privileges are dependent on the work of my grandmother and my great-grandmother, and I have great respect for these people that put me where I am. And yet you're telling me that my son will not be able to be educated if, based on the history of African Americans in this country, that he doesn't want to be vaccinated? All right, so I will leave you with that question. Who are we going to exclude from the workforce? Are we going to continue with discrimination and segregation in the United States of America? Thank you.
In world news today, officials decree that rapper Brad Jordan, alias Scarface, must be stopped. After being monitored by Secret Service agents for 2 years, evidence leads tobacco and firearms officials to believe that his literally dope lyrics promote drug usage and distribution. Degrade women, influence gambling, promote and teach violence, and more importantly, it's influencing our minors and destroying our communities. Officials say he's the lord of underground rap. Him and his music must be stopped.
We got this whole motherfucker on the mission. Now the whole entire world has gotta try to come up with a quick decision. They claim we threats to society, and now they're calling on the government to try to make somebody quiet for the bullshit they done to me. Gangsta Nip Spice warned that Tupac never gave a gun to me. So gangsta rap ain't done shit for that. I've even seen white folks from River Oaks go get to get. So why you trying to catch them dust up? America's always been known for blaming us niggas, but they fucked us. And we were always considered evil. Now they're trying to bust our only code of communicating with our people. Let's beat the game from a different angle. Matt Dillon pulled
when someone tangled. So why you criticize me for the shit that you see on your TV? That's freaks worse than TG. Just bring your ass to where they got me, so you can feel the hand of the dead button.
Nigga, don't believe that song. That nigga's wrong.
So now they trying separation and sending black folks in white coats to infiltrate our congregation, tapping into our conversation, taking the message that they get, bring forth wrong premeditation. So David's got a silver man while listening to Brad. David gets pissed and killed his dad. David Duke's got a shotgun. So why you get upset? Cause I got one. A chest kid, a sass kid, a nigga got his ass kicked, shot in the face by a cop, close casket. An open and shut situation. Cop gets got, they wanna blame it on my occupation. If you don't dig me, then nigga, you can sue me. Cause the shit that I be saying ain't worse than a Western movie. Don't blame me, blame your man, got it. So you can feel the hand of the dead body.
Nigga, don't believe that song. That nigga's wrong.
You better free your mind before I free my nine and stop fucking with Detroit or pop. I feel my hot rocks. Bang, bang, boom, boom, ping, ping. I'm the black, white boys got a magazine and don't know how to act. I attack and make you vomit. Down with Khaled, I do Muhammad. Do we got a brother? I'm McNair. I'm the illest. Wanna kill this house, nigga, Don Cornelius. Can you feel this? You punk niggas make me sick. Sucking on the devil, dick, scared of revolution. Need to start solution. Houston is the place. I caught a case. The motherfuckers tried to put a scar on my face. But I bust two times to the guts. Do the Reverend Calvin bust. Got a pair of nuts. I started this gangster shit in 86. Now you're dissing me for publicity. Isn't he a hoe to the third degree? Who me? I'm a G that like to scrap a lot. Down with rap a lot. And I can't stop, won't stop. So fuck Bill and Hillary. Ice Cube, it ain't no killing me. Ice Cube, Scarface, dropping it on me. Sell out ass niggas. Like.
Nigga, don't believe that song, that nigga's wrong. Gangsters don't live that long. Nigga, don't believe that song, that nigga's wrong. Gangsters don't live that long.
Coronavirus. Everybody's talking about coronavirus. Well, viruses come in families. So there's a herpes family. There's a coronavirus family. There's an influenza family of viruses. And so coronaviruses are generally considered to be animal viruses. When you look a little deeper, you find coronaviruses inhabit parasites that are in the bodies of animals. So therefore, in livestock industries, they have a big coronavirus problem because you can get things like feedlot fever among cattle, sheep, but especially pigs and other domestic animals that are not necessarily so clean. So that's a big problem. Coronaviruses infect animals. Sometimes you may get a human infection with coronavirus. That's somewhat rare. Some of the common colds that people have had are due to coronaviruses. Generally speaking, they have not proven to be extremely fatal. However, what we're dealing with now, the novel coronavirus, COVID-20, this is not a natural coronavirus. This is a genetically engineered, weaponized version of coronavirus that has been married to four genes from HIV. and probably other genes from perhaps other viral pathogens. The short history is Dr. Lieber of Harvard University, the chief biomolecular scientist at Harvard University, dug up some frozen bodies from the tundra in Alaska. This was maybe 3 or 4 years ago, to investigate what killed them during the Spanish flu epidemic. He isolated that virus from 100 years ago and resurrected it, you could say, but found out that because of the frozen conditions over time, the virus had lost its infectivity. You may question, why would somebody dig up a virus that killed over 100 million people and brought an end to World War I? Well, you would have to ask Dr. Lieber that. But he did that, and then when the infectivity was not what he wanted, then he paired it with 4 genes from HIV and perhaps some other things. And now you have a highly contagious coronavirus that is infecting human beings. And not only from animal to human transmission, but now verified cases, human-to-human transmission through the air. So you could say that this coronavirus 2020 is the descendant of the MERS virus, the Middle Eastern respiratory virus that killed many people in the Middle East, and the SARS virus that I think that goes back to 2003-2004 that killed many, many people. Now, the SARS virus was the first indication to the Chinese people that someone was out to get them. The SARS virus was genetically engineered to infect Asian people, preferably. And the Chinese realized this. And so since that time, they have actually been on the defensive. Now the question is whether this latest virus is also a bioweapon engineered to destroy people of Asian descent. And it seems to have another feature. It seems to preferentially infect men as opposed to women. Seems to be much more lethal in men than women. And even though it's considered to be a respiratory virus that causes a respiratory illness, the other interesting factor is that it seems to have a predilection for male testicles. And even in those that recover, the question is, will they be sterilized as after this COVID infection, even if they survive? Bill Gates, along with Dr. Lieber and Johns Hopkins University in October of 2019, conducted a simulation, computer simulation, of a coronavirus outbreak. And they determined through computer simulations that such an outbreak would lead to the death of 65 million people. Now, the current experience in China with a 2.3% mortality rate shows that globally we could expect at least 165 million deaths from this virus. So what is it all for? I think it's for the purpose of slowing down the growth of China as a dominant economic, political and economic power in the world. That is, of course, if it really is a bioweapon. If it's not really a bioweapon, it certainly has taken the U.S.-China trade war to another level. Trade war has become biological warfare, and people are being targeted with their lives. Part of the trade war, of course, was the controversy with a company called Huawei, the leaders in 5G technology. The center of 5G technology is China, and the center of 5G technology in China is Wuhan City, or Hubei, in Hubei province. And when they turned on or switched on the most potent 5G network in the world, in Wuhan City, that's when the epidemic broke out. So there are scientists who think that there is an electronic component to what would otherwise just be a biological phenomenon. A virus is on the borderline of living things versus non-living things. It is protein wrapped around genetic material, either RNA or DNA. It is susceptible to electronic frequencies. Viruses can be activated by 5G 60 cycle frequency radiation that was turned on in Wuhan City that just coincidentally happened at the same time as a viral outbreak. Could there be a connection? One final point that I think the world should consider. From my point of view as a medical doctor, someone who knows a little bit about public health, I don't think that the Chinese government could be faulted in any way for their response to whatever happened, whether it was a natural phenomenon or whether it turns out to really be a bio attack. But their response to it was heroic and correct. They built 3 1,000-bed hospitals in a little more than a week. That is phenomenal. They provided hospital care for thousands of people who otherwise would have been left out in the cold to die. And so this is something to ponder. Is the United States capable of the same response, public health-wise? Is Europe capable of the same response? Is Africa, is India, are the other nations, are Brazil and other nations in South America and throughout the world? Is Japan, Korea, are they capable of the same heroic, monumental public health measures undertaken by the Chinese, who seem, I mean, optimistically I'm speaking now, they seem to have contained the spread of the virus in China through these drastic means. But suppose you had the same level of infection in New York City or Los Angeles or Chicago or some other major city in Europe, as we now see in Italy and Spain and Germany, cases breaking out. Well, this is the tip of the iceberg. 80-some cases now in Long Island, New York, in Los Angeles, in Texas, and other places. People under quarantine. We don't know how many people are really infected because the CDC has only given a little more than 400 tests total. So if they're reporting 50 or 60 cases, that sounds like a small number, and it is, but you'd only tested 400 people. So how can you be sure about the total number of infections in the country? You can't be. So all precautions must be in order. Facial masks are not going too far. Frequent hand washing is not going too far. Avoiding contact with public surfaces is not going too far. Avoiding public gatherings is not going too far. We don't actually know the full characteristics of what we're dealing with, but we must take those things into consideration that we are learning, you know, where these outbreaks are taking place throughout the world. A weak Clorox solution, a cap full of Clorox in a gallon of water, can be used as a disinfectant on surfaces. I use essential oils mixed in water, things like geranium and other essential oils, eucalyptus, camphor. These essential oils mixed in water, sprayed in a house, will keep germs at bay. These are old-fashioned, traditional methods. I think the public health service in America is so decrepit and disabled that every American citizen should consider that you're on your own and you have to do what you can do to protect yourself and your family, because I don't think that the government agencies are going to be able. They're not equipped. The hospitals don't have the space to accommodate you, so you're going to have to accommodate. So the question about whether or not this COVID-20, coronavirus, is natural or man-made, I think that the fact that it is man-made is beyond question right now. I think the genetic sequences that have been done throughout the world shows that it did not have a natural origin. You can't naturally combine HIV genes with coronavirus genes. That just doesn't happen in nature. However, nature is capable of things that we may not be able to conceive of. So for example, one of the things that people are becoming aware of are the tremendous number of deaths that take place every year from ordinary influenza. In the United States, for example, every year you will have between 30 and 40,000 deaths from regular influenza. And that's considered to be normal. And it could even range higher than that, 60, 70,000 per year, and some years lower than that. So we have good seasons and bad seasons. This is from influenza. Well, where did the influenza virus come from? I'm using this as an example for all viruses. Where did they come from? Well, if you have, as you do in China, a situation where you have population congestion, you have human beings living in close proximity with animals. You have human beings living in close proximity to pigs and ducks and chickens. And so the history of influenza is that this is a virus that naturally recombined to produce something that can cause human disease. A bird virus infects a duck in a pond in China. That bird virus gets picked up by a pig who drinks from that pond water. And then that virus recombines inside the body of the pig so that it begins to infect the pig. A bird virus, in other words, has now jumped into a pig. And then who lives right next to the pig or who ends up eating the pig or slaughtering the pig is a human being. And so now an original bird virus that somehow was able to infect a pig now makes a second leap, species leap, you could say, into a human being. And now a bird virus that became a swine virus is now a human virus, and we call it influenza. And it has been plaguing the world ever since people thought it was a good idea to live in close proximity to a food source like ducks and pigs. So it's possible, it's remotely possible, that this novel coronavirus is a natural virus, like they say. It came from a meat market in China. It came from bats. It came from this. It came from that. Well, that sounds like the green monkey story related to HIV. And then it turns out green monkeys had very little to do with HIV. Human biomolecular engineers had everything to do with the development of HIV as a biological weapon. And I think that the evidence is very strong right now. And I think the proof positive will come in the future. This was a biologically engineered weapon, probably done by Dr. Lieber and his team from Harvard University in conjunction with Johns Hopkins University and with Wuhan University in China and other government agencies in China. They developed this. They will have to explain to the world why they thought this was such a good idea to do.
Hizzy, getting busy with the dirty.